Amen. Becoming a fellow partaker of the gospel and running the race. Amen. And running the race. Of course, the church is always burdened for the matter of the gospel. For the matter of the gospel. For the gospel preaching. Actually, among us, we have had in the church here throughout the years gospel meetings every month. Every month. Especially among the Chinese-speaking saints, and more often now among the saints speaking the other languages, and there's a constant burden for the gospel. Yeah. However, since the end of last year, since right the very end of 2014, there was a very specific leading that the Lord has been bringing the church into concerning this matter of the gospel. Of the gospel, especially to all the nations. And this year, even already in just this month and a half, there have been a number of gospel activities, and there are quite a number being planned and for this whole year. And there is a lot of burden concerning the gospel to all the nations. And we really feel that this is it is a general kind of commission to all of the Lord's children, but I believe that we feel a certain particular responsibility, those of us who live in New York City, because the Lord has brought all the nations, and I think we've mentioned this in the past, this word nations, actually in the Greek is the word ethnos, and from where we derive the word ethnicities. And the Lord really has brought all the ethnicities here to New York City. And so we bear a kind of certain responsibility in the gospel. From this one place, we can preach the gospel to all the nations. And I do believe the saints have been responding to this burden very, very much. Well, you know, this weekend there is a conference going on in Anaheim. It's the International Chinese Speaking Conference. Actually, a number of our saints are there right now. And when I found out the topic of this conference, I was surprised and encouraged. You know, sometimes the topic, or what we call the general subject of these conferences, if you've been to these special conferences, sometimes they're very long. They're very long, and even the general the subject or the title is really worth our study. And but this time, you know what the topic is? Very simple: the gospel. The gospel. And when I found this out, that this was the subject of this, this is, of course, the first of the seven big conferences that we have through the year that we call the Seven Feasts. This is the first one. When I found out that this is the topic of this conference, I just felt a kind of encouragement, and I would say even a kind of confirmation that the direction that the Lord is leading the church here actually is just the same direction He's leading all the churches in throughout the earth, all the churches in the Lord's recovery, in this matter of the gospel. And I'm sorry, Brother Frank, could you hand me this? Sorry. I wanted to read to you the titles. The titles of the five messages that are being given there, and I believe there'll be some. Actually, at least one or two of these messages will be shown here this afternoon. But this is message one. Message one is entitled "The Gospel of the Kingdom." The Gospel of the Kingdom. Okay. Message two is entitled "The Gospel of Grace." Or the gospel of the grace of God. The gospel of the grace of God. And to me it's very interesting. This verse was in our Morning Watch verses this week. Actually, we just read it. Acts 20:24. This is the verse that has this phrase. The gospel of the grace of God. The gospel of the grace of God. This is something Paul was preaching. He was preaching the gospel of the grace of God. The third message, I believe we could have a specific kind of connection with this message because of our most recent study and enjoyment from the book of Romans. You know, we had a long study of the book of Romans, and some particular points came out. Actually, those points, you'll see, are in this title. The structure of the gospel of God. The structure. The righteousness of God, the life of Christ, and the faith of the believers. Righteousness, life, and faith. Right? This is the structure of the gospel. Message four is Paul's gospel. The gospel of completion. The gospel of completion. Of course, this is derived from Colossians 1, where Paul mentions, right, that he has completed the word of God. And then finally, message five is the highest point of God's gospel. The highest point of God's gospel. And this alludes to the point that we, who were sinners, are now children of God. We are God's sons with his very life and nature. Right? The highest point of the gospel. But the underlying burden of that conference can be summarized in these two words. Actually, I'd like to write this down. Okay? This can be summarized in these two words. The first word is content. And the second word is commission. Content and commission. Now, what is this referring to? The gospel has its content. What is the gospel? If you're going to go preach the gospel, you have to first know what is the gospel, right? The gospel has its content. And what is the gospel? Well, the gospel is the gospel of the kingdom. We need to know this. But not only know this, we need to be filled with this. We need to experience this before we go to preach to others. So the point with these two words is, don't just pick up the commission. Don't just run to commission for activity, for going out. We first must be saturated with the content. Actually, first, we must know the content. We have to know the content. We have to know the gospel. But secondly, we need to experience the content. Experience the content so that we can overflow the content to others. And take, for example, in Acts 20, the verse that we read, in Acts 20, 24, It refers to the gospel of the grace. The gospel of the grace of God. Okay. Paul not only preached, right? Paul not only preached the gospel of grace. Actually, Paul was experiencing the gospel of grace. And this comes to my first point, which is in verse 23. Verse 23. And I do all things for the sake of the gospel, that I may become a fellow partaker of it. A fellow partaker of it. And I think many of us enjoyed this point concerning being a fellow partaker. This implies a lot, this word fellow partaker. It means that Paul was a kind of partner with the gospel. He cooperated with the gospel. But not only so, he partook of the gospel. That means he had an enjoyment of the gospel. And saints, this is the way to preach the gospel. First, we have to have the enjoyment of the gospel. Let's come back to Paul. You know, Paul told us, he gave this kind of a testimony in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That he labored according to the grace. His labor in the gospel was a labor by the energy of grace. So he enjoyed grace. He didn't just speak about grace. That way, out of his enjoyment and experience, when he spoke about grace, actually the very grace he spoke of was ministered to others. In the second book, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he describes this situation that he had a thorn in his flesh. He had a kind of a suffering, right? And he prayed that the Lord would remove it, but the Lord did not and chose not to remove it. But the Lord spoke to him, what? My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. So Paul experienced the very grace that he preached. And this grace became a supply. This grace became an enjoyment. And it's by this grace that he could speak the gospel of grace to others. So when he spoke it, he didn't just describe it. He didn't just present it. He actually ministered the very grace. And my burden is this, saints. In these days, every month, there's some kind of gospel activity. And actually, this is very good. And I'm especially encouraged by the fact that so many among us in all the four districts have been stirred to pray for the gospel. Actually, we shouldn't expect anything, any activity to be successful, any activity to move forward unless we have the adequate prayer. But I'm so encouraged by this, that so many in a consistent way, and actually I know of a number in a daily way, daily coming together, especially via the conference call, to have prayer together specifically for the gospel. I know in the Brooklyn district, many saints responded to this burden, and they asked us to team them up in groups of twos and threes, so that they could pray every day for one another's friends and for the gospel in general. We're having a gospel meeting there in Brooklyn in April, but they're starting to pray now. Amen. That's so encouraging. So there are many kind of gospel activities. But saints, I want to give this kind of encouragement. Even I would say a little warning that we have to be careful not to be misfocused. Not to be caught up merely with the activity and miss the partaking with the gospel. That is the enjoyment. We need to enjoy what we're going to preach. Enjoy what we're going to speak. So that when we speak, actually the joy of the Lord flows out. It'll be something living and even attracting. As in Paul's case, this thorn in the flesh that he had was something that went with him everywhere. That it was a daily kind of long-term suffering. Yet he had the grace. He had the daily grace. We need such experiences of the gospel. We need to preach the gospel of the kingdom, but to be effective in preaching the gospel of the kingdom, we have to partake of the kingdom. We have to be in the kingdom, which on one hand is a matter of life, right? Because the life aspect of the kingdom, we're born into the kingdom of God. On the other hand, it's the matter of living under his ruling. Living under his ruling. So in our daily living, we need to be under the throne. Under the throne. But thank the Lord for the picture in Revelation 22. What do we see there? From the throne comes a river. From the throne comes a supply. So, saints, when we do live our life in the reality of the kingdom, right, when we're actually living the gospel of the kingdom, there is a supply. There is a supply, a constant supply. So, the point is, we need to be fellow partakers of the gospel so that when we go out to share the gospel, Christ is ministered to others. Okay, that's that. That's the first thing I'd like to share. The second thing is in the matter of the race, running the race. You know, in this chapter, Paul uses quite a number of metaphors, and here he brings us to the matter of running the race. But earlier than this, in the portion we had last week, in the first part of chapter 9, he talks about being a soldier, right? Or a soldier, right? And then he talks about being a farmer. Actually, what it says here is one who plants a vineyard. One who plants a vineyard. Then he talks about being a shepherd. Being a shepherd. You know, as we're laboring in the gospel, actually, we experience all of these. Because the gospel is a warfare. The gospel is a warfare. So we have to be soldiers. You know, in the gospel, every time we preach the gospel, in a sense, we're declaring war again. Because our desire, our intention, is to rescue people out of Satan's kingdom and bring them into the kingdom of God. So the Lord told us himself, before you go in, right? Before you go in the gospel preaching, before you go into the house, you have to plunder the strong man. You have to plunder the strong man. And that implies through prayer. We have to pray to bind the enemy so that we can conquer and we can rescue these people. So we have to be the soldiers. But we're also the farmers. We're also those who are planting, right? And that requires patience. That requires endurance. That requires a daily, steady kind of labor. Then he alludes that we are shepherds. We are shepherds. Shepherds of the flock. And in the shepherding, we have to render an all-inclusive care to the sheep. Our gospel is not just to get the people saved. After that, we have to feed them. We have to nourish them so that they could become the remaining fruit. So our job is not done just in the initial preaching of the gospel. Actually, we have the full gospel, which needs the shepherding labor, the shepherding labor. And then he talks about being an ox, an ox, an ox who treads the grain, who treads the grain. So we're laboring. We are laboring to produce food for people. And then later he says that we are those who labor on the sacred things. And what is this? This is the priests. So what are we doing as we're preaching the gospel? We're bringing man to God and God to man. I love all of these analogies that Paul is using here. But then at the end of the chapter, he suddenly switches to a race. He's talking about preaching the gospel, and he switches to a race. And dear saints, I don't know about you. I did not know in my very early Christian life that when I got saved, I started running a race. But we all are running a race. We all have our course. We all have our course. And Paul mentions this a number of times in the verses that we read. In Acts, the saints are trying to take care of him. But he is in a sense, he's saying, no, I don't consider my life that important. I just want to finish my course. I just want to finish the course, the race that the Lord has given me to run. But thank the Lord for his declaration in 2 Timothy chapter 4. There he says, in a glorious way, I have finished the course. I have finished my course. Well, don't you want to be able to declare this phrase one day in the same glorious way? I have finished my course. I ran the race. I ran the race. And taking in what is mentioned here in 1 Corinthians 9, I didn't get disqualified. Amen. I didn't get disqualified. You know, this is a very sobering point. Very sobering point that Paul mentions here. That we need to run in a certain way that we're not disapproved. that we're not disqualified. They're not disqualified. We need to run with endurance, is what it says in Hebrews. We need to run with endurance. Saints, we need to run to the end. We need to run to the end. We need the Lord to strengthen us to keep running. And in these verses that we read, we could see that there are some hindering factors. Paul actually shows us that there are some things we need to be careful of. Here in Corinthians, we have something. There in Hebrews, those verses. I wonder if you could put the Hebrews verses. Thank you. I want to concentrate on these for a little bit. Here, Paul says, in Hebrews it says, of course, again, it doesn't tell us that Paul wrote it, but I believe Paul wrote it. Therefore, let us also, having so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, and this is the phrase that I want to highlight, putting away every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. These two phrases. Saints, here we are told that there are two factors that could hinder our running the Christian race. Two factors. Two categories of things. The first is encumbrance. And the encumbrance is something that weighs us down, slows us down. The second category is sin. Sin. When I was younger, I think I only thought there was one category, sin. But later I learned, no. There are many things that are not sinful that can still weigh us down. That can still weigh us down. This week in our small group meeting, one of the young sisters brought out a testimony. She's, I believe, a sophomore in college, and already, the wheel of anxiety is turning. The wheel of anxiety concerning her graduation and her job, which are about two and a half years away, but the wheel is turning. And she described to us how everyone around her is in this kind of mode. She's actually in one of the business schools in the city, or business program. I can relate to this because this is what I studied myself. But there is a kind of anxiety-producing atmosphere. Anxiety-producing. That pushes people. You have to do this, you have to do that, you have to network, you have to get an internship. Actually, now I heard a phrase this week that I had never heard before, and that is a junior internship. Yeah. So these things didn't exist when I was in this process. So young, yet so full of anxiety. So full of anxiety. And of course, I think all of us would admit we have anxiety in one form or another over many different matters. It could be also concerning our job. It could be concerning our health. It could be concerning, if not our health, the health of a family member. So many things. I know, I recently moved to Manhattan, and I found out, it's a different kind of society. Even there, there is the anxiety over which preschool the children will be put in. Oh, the parents, so filled with anxiety. Oh, this is not sinful. Actually, this is just the practical love for your child. But this surely can be an encumbrance. This can be a factor to slow us down. Actually, to consume. I've seen parents over the years consumed with these things. Not that we don't take care of them. We have to take care of the education of our children. And if you're in the university, you have your responsibility to study, to do your best, and to do whatever it takes to have a proper job. But remember, we're still running a race. We're still running a race. You don't get a timeout from the race while you finish your studies. There's no timeout from the race until you find a school for your child. While you're finding the school for your child, you're still running the race. So you have to be careful. You have to be careful. And one thing that I was very struck by this time in going through this chapter is that Paul somewhat equates running the race with preaching the gospel, with releasing his burden for the gospel. You know, Paul in the earlier part talks about even the necessity is laid upon him, that he is given this burden. He has this commission to preach the gospel. And that, you know, when you have a burden, really, that's a kind of inward pressure, a desire. You think about it. You consider. You pray about it. You find a way for the gospel. But Paul equates that with the running of the race. So to me, saints, this implies if we're going to run the race well, the Christian race, there must be a gospel component in our living. We must share in the burden of the gospel. Preaching the gospel to others actually helps us to run this race well. Of course, when we're preaching to others, we are getting them to join us in the race. And this is a good way to run. Run with others. To run with others. You know, I know a number of people, they've mentioned this, that they want to exercise. They want to exercise. Especially they think about running. But they don't like to run alone. If they have a running partner, it really motivates them. And so they have the accountability to one another. And I believe in the Christian race, it is like this. When you have the companions, you run better. You run better. Another point that I think we see here is actually in verse 2. Looking away. Looking away unto Jesus. And saints, to me, this is a big key. How to run the Christian race. Looking away. Looking away. And combining this with what Paul says in Philippians 3. Forgetting the things which are behind and looking away. Forgetting the things which are behind and looking away. I was studying a little bit this word looking away. This is actually one word in Greek. And this word is very rich in meaning. Very rich in meaning. This word has this kind of a sense. This kind of a sense. I was looking in one Greek lexicon, and it has this sense of that you were connected with something. You were connected with something. Actually, you were in a union with something, and now you look away from that so that the union is destroyed. And so you're separated from what you were looking at before. Did you get the sense? So you were joined to something. You were joined to something. You look away from that. When you look away, not only you look away, you cut the tie. Then it has this second part that you look upon and you fix your gaze on that thing. What a rich word. Thank the Lord for the Greek language. And this really shows us we need to look away, but not just look away. We need, when we look away, to cut the tie. Amen. Cut the tie and fix our gaze on the Lord. And saints, I'm always burdened for this matter of the personal fellowship with the Lord, especially in our mourning time. In our mourning time, we need to look away. We need to look away. We need to have the precious times with the Lord, that He could infuse us with Himself, infuse us with His beauty, so that when we're running the race throughout our day, we have the inner strength to continually look away. Because it's in our daily living that all the sin and encumbrances come back. And there we need the strength. We need the grace to look away so that we can continue running this race. This morning as we were in the Lord's table, I was very struck with this hymn that we sang, 1159. And I feel this just encapsulates my burden for this part. Jesus, Lord, this is verse 1. I'm captured by thy beauty. Amen. Actually, I would say, saints, it's not bad to sing this in our morning time with the Lord. Or even just to pray this in our morning time with the Lord. Jesus, Lord. Oh, how about we read verse 1 together? It's there. Jesus, Lord, I'm captured by thy beauty. All my heart to thee I open wide. Now set free from all religious duty, only let me in thyself abide. As I'm gazing here upon thy glory, fill my heart with radiancy divine. Saturate me, Lord, I now implore thee. Mingle now thy spirit, Lord, with mine. It's not bad to say, Lord, capture me this morning with your beauty. Set me free from all religious duty. Lord, I'm here this morning with you. I don't want my morning watch time to be a religious duty. I'm here to see you. I'm here to look away, to gaze upon you. Only let me in thyself abide. As I'm gazing here upon thy glory, fill my heart with radiancy divine. Saturate me, Lord. Oh, that's a good prayer every morning. Lord, saturate me. Lord, keep my eyes on you so that I could run this race the proper way. How about to close? We sing this. Let's sing. How about we sing verses just 1 and 2. Just verses 1 and 2. And then we'll have our announcements. Amen.